Your Honor, I am charged with the crime of having given information to men and women as to how to prevent conception. For the last 3 weeks, every night before packed houses, a stirring social indictment is being played at the Candler Theater. I refer to Justice by John Galsworthy. The counsel for the defense, in summing up the charge against the defendant, says, among other things, Your Honor, back of the commission of every crime is life, palpitating life. Now, what is the palpitating life back of my crime? I will tell you, Your Honor. According to the bulletin of the Department of Health, 30 million people in America are underfed. Your Honor, what kind of children do you suppose these parents can bring into the world? I will tell you, children so poor and anemic that they take their leave of this, our kind world, before their first year of life. In that way, 300,000 babies, according to the Baby Welfare Association, are sacrificed in the United States every year. This, Your Honor, is the palpitating life which has confronted me for many years and which is back of the commission of my crime. After all, the question of birth control is largely a working man's question, above all, a working woman's question. She it is who risks her health, her youth, her very life, in giving out of herself the units of the race. She it is who ought to have the means and the knowledge to say how many children she will have and to what purpose she shall have them, and under what conditions she shall bring forth life. And this is true, not only because of what I say or may not say. There is much profounder reason for the tremendous growth and importance of birth control. The reason is conditioned in the great modern social conflict, or rather social war, I might say. A war not for military conquest or material supremacy, a war of the oppressed and disinherited of the earth against their enemies, capitalism and the state. A war for a seat at the table of life. A war for well-being, for beauty, for liberty. Above all, this is a war for a free motherhood and a joyous, playful, glorious childhood.
Helen Keller is presented to American school children as an extraordinary person who overcame blindness and deafness and became internationally famous. What our schools do not say about Helen Keller is that she was a socialist, a radical, that she opposed war and militarism, that she walked on picket lines. But because she was blind, they said that her disability limited her understanding of social issues. The editor of the Brooklyn Eagle, who had once praised her lavishly, changed his mind when she declared herself a socialist, whereupon she wrote a letter to the newspaper addressing it, Poor Blind Eagle. Here she speaks in Carnegie Hall on the eve of America's entrance into the First World War.